business. Well, this morning I just want to bring some encouragement to all of us. We're starting a new series based on the book by John Bevere called Honor's Reward. Honor's Reward. So the series is from the book Honor's Reward. And so the title I have for this message today is The Culture of Honor. We know that we live in a society where rebellion is the order of the day, where disrespect of authority is welcomed. I know that I grew up in an era where when the music started coming out, they were telling us to tell the police to get stuffed. And so there was probably reasons why they said that, but that just engendered an attitude in us of disregarding those that were placed in authority over us. And so that was something that was welcomed. If you didn't like those in authority, it was okay to do so. But we know that's not the culture of heaven. The culture of heaven is a culture of honor. Ish, these lights. You know, we always like the bright lights, but these are way too bright. So I just want to welcome everybody that's visiting for the first time. We welcome you to C3 Kwinana. I just want to bring a digression. And the digression is this, is that for whatever it is that you're facing in your life, whether it's you're going through a very difficult time where you feel that the world is closing in on you, there is no way out. My encouragement to you this morning comes from Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, where the Lord said to Moses, he said, in fact, Moses said to the people, because the Egyptians were coming after them and they were blocked in, and God had taken them through this detour and they were blocked in. And so the people were crying out, come on, you know, what are we going to do with these people coming after us? And these are the words of Moses. He says, the Lord will fight for you. Only you hold your peace or remain calm. And so for you, if whatever it is that you're going through, there's a battle that you're facing, I just want to encourage you this morning that God will fight for you. You just hold your peace. Just believe in God and he will come through for you. Amen? So just the Lord will fight for you. Just hold your peace. So the series is based on the book Honor's Reward. And in this book, John explores the transformative power of honor in our lives, which is a principle that's often overlooked in our contemporary culture. We applaud, you know, people who are defiant. In fact, there's always times where you have to be defiant at times, but there's this thing where there's defiance to any type of leadership over our lives. Whether it's parental leadership, whether it's governmental leadership, whether it's people at work that watch over us, our bosses, there's just something within us that basically wants to tell them to get stuffed. I don't know why, but there's just this innate thing that we just don't like our bosses and we always would like to rebel. Now, and I know that embracing honor in our lives aligns us with God's value system and opens the door to his blessings. So before we get into the message today, I want to hear from a few of you. And so I hope everybody's got, this is just a guide for when you do your Connect groups, you can ask yourself questions. But if you're attending a Connect group, these are just some discussion questions that you can use to just go through the book. But also, I've got some personal reflection here that you can take time during the week to consider the questions that are asked there. So you will do a self-examination yourself. And then, of course, there's a challenge at the end. And my encouragement is that you do take the time for that personal reflection, because as you do, something positive will come out of it for you. So I'll ask these three questions. From your perspective, what is honor and how do you personally define it? What is honor and how do you personally define it? And then, can you share a moment or example where you witnessed honor being displayed and what stood out to you about that situation? That's the second question. And the third question is, how do you think honor is expressed in today's world, especially in your relationships, in your family, in your workplace, or your community? So any takers? Anybody would like to answer that question for us? Tammy? Yes, you would. Thank you. Well done, Tammy. She looked away, and I'm like, that's the right person. So Tammy, just if you can stand up, have a think from your perspective, what is honor, and how do you personally define it? Thank you, Bert. Give it to Miss Tammy.
Well, I guess there's that saying that says, give honor where honor is due. So it's recognizing something that somebody is doing or a gift that they have and vocalizing your appreciation of that.
Well done. Put your hands together for Tammy. Maybe we can ask Pitwell. Pitwell is so enthusiastic to answer that question.
Sorry, what was the question?
Okay. From your perspective, what is honor and how do you personally define it?
I think honor, first thing I think of is obedience. Mm-hmm. And obedience.
Okay, yeah. That's good. Yeah. Thank you. Put your hands together for volunteering. Just one more. Who would like? Yes, the lady at the back. Yep. Yes. Yep. That's very good. Please put your hands together for that's really good. So in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 2, and then I'll read verse 7, it says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Verse number 7 says, give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. That's the New Living Translation. But if I read verse number 7 from the King James Version, it says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor is due. Now, the tribute here is just your taxes. You pay the tax, and we do that well in this country. We give it to the Australian Taxation Office. We don't have, in fact, we do it begrudgingly, but we still do it. We still pay our taxes. It's a lot, but we do it because that's what is required of us, because no one wants to get audited by the tax office. So we do it gladly because we know that if we claim things we're not supposed to claim and they come after us, we're in a whole lot of trouble. John chapter 2 John 1 gives a scenario where John is writing and he says, I'm writing to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and he has commanded us to love one another just as you heard from the beginning. I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They denied that Jesus Christ came in a real body. And then he says, obviously, such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. But then he goes on to say in verse number 8, watch out that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. Don't allow things to come into your life that will rob you of all the blessings that God has for you. Mark chapter 6, verse 1 to 6 says, Jesus left the part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, which was his hometown. And so the next Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Then they said, they asked themselves, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, John, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. If we listen to the words of Jesus, where he says, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family, we begin to recognize that sometimes in our families, in fact, we can be so good at honoring others outside of the family home. But when we come inside the home, it's just like, oh my goodness. You know, we tend to have a greater, we necessarily do bend over backwards for other people outside the home. But inside the home, it's like, oh, no, no, no. We are terse with one another. We are snappy. But with other people, we are more accommodative outside of the home. That's not the way that it should be in our lives. So in Mark chapter 5, there's three things that happened in that chapter. Number one, Jesus went and healed a demon-possessed man. And obviously, this healing was initiated by Jesus because the man came and the demons came to Jesus and said, oh, what do you have with us, son of David? And so Jesus then cast the demon out of the man and he was healed. When he went back the other side, there were two other situations that occurred. The first one was that there was a teacher of the law that came to him and said, Master, my daughter is sick. Could you please come and what? Pray for her so that she can be well. On his way to Jairus, the guy's name was Jairus, on his way to the door to his house, there was a lady that had been struggling with the issue of blood for many, many years. She had done all she could, but she could never get healed. And so what she did is that she said to herself, if I only touch the hem of his garment, then I would be made well. She recognized that this Jesus was different, she knew that there was something different about him, that he was a healer from all the stories that she heard. And so she told herself that. She touched the hem of his garment, boom, and then immediately her issue was taken care of. What then happened at that time is that somebody then came and said to Jairus, like, hey, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. Gone. Forget it. And Jesus came. In fact, Jesus turned to him and said, hey, just remain in belief. Just continue to believe. Eventually, as we know the story, Jesus healed, in fact, rose his daughter from the dead. So we can see that the people that interacted with him in a positive way got everything that was due to them. But the people that were in that town, in his hometown, they didn't get anything. He says only a few sick people he could have healed. And why is that? We'll find out just now. What is honor? As obviously described eloquently by everybody, respect, obedience, valuing somebody, esteeming them. It says that, Oxford Dictionary says that it means to regard with great respect or high esteem. If you've got on most occasions we know this, if you've got, let's just say a pen, a Mont Blanc pen or a Parker pen. Parker pens are, you know, not cheap. They're very expensive. And so the way that you would treat that pen will be completely different to the way you would treat a big pen or a Pilot pen, because they're very cheap. And you know that you can get many of those. So that tells us that when it comes to honor, it's how we esteem or we place value on somebody in our lives. Culture is important. The culture that we have in our families, in our businesses, in our church is important. And essentially what culture is the way we do things. the accepted practices in our families, in our teams, our business. So for example, this is an example. There is a culture in restaurants, not McDonald's, not takeaway. When you go to a sit-down restaurant, there is a culture that when you eat them and enjoy the meal, you have to tip. You have to give them a tip. In other countries, they mandate, they tell you that, hey, you come here, you're eating, you got to give 20% or 10% of the value of your bill. So if my meal costs me $100, I have to pay $110 or $120, depending on where I find myself on the scale. Now, if the service is good and the food is good, I'm more likely to tip higher. But if the service is bad and the food is good, well, there'll be a small tip. Now imagine if the service is bad and the food is bad. Are you going to give them a tip? Not likely. What we have to understand, you see, is that there is a discretion when it comes to rewards in our lives. There is a discretion when it comes to rewards. So when you rock up to a restaurant and they say, good afternoon, Miss Tammy, welcome to such and such, meat and wine. Thank you for coming. And then they take you to your seat and you sit down. They pull the chair in and then you sit nicely. And they bring, would you like sparkling or still? Tammy says sparkling. And so obviously they bring the water. And then they bring the meal. What would you like, a ribeye steak or a hamburger? No, this, okay. She would like some chicken. No, she wants some chicken. So they bring the chicken to her. And then, so I bring the chicken to her. And then Bert is the manager. Bert comes and says, oh, how are you going, miss? How is your meal? And she says, she gives him the thumbs up. And then he goes away. And then at the end of it, when the bill comes, she's enjoyed the service. We fussed over her. We've made her feel super special. Eventually, the bill comes for $200 for a chicken. And now she's more likely to say, you know what? This has been great. I'm going to tip an extra $40. That's 20%. You know? So that tells us that we understand is that honor is not something we hear. It's actually something we see and we experience it and we know it. You know, you've been to a restaurant where they don't really look at you, they don't come, the service is, they attend to you after sitting down, after 40 minutes, and when your food comes, it's cold, it's uncooked. In fact, I've been to a restaurant where they've served rotten steak. Would you go back to that restaurant again? Not likely. And so we feel honor. As a parent, you feel honor. You know when your child honors you because of the role that you play. And you also know when they dishonor you. We know that there are teachers in our schools that they honor children. And the children just love them and they respect them. So what we must build a culture of honor in our lives, because in our contemporary culture, it's something that has been thrown aside. A lot of the stuff that the kids are watching, that we sometimes watch, it's always about dishonor, about disrespect, and not caring about giving honor where honor is due. And I wonder, why do we struggle with honor? One of the key things that we learn from this passage of Scripture is that familiarity breeds contempt. And this means that the more we get to know someone or something closely, especially their flaws, their routines, or their weaknesses, we are more likely we are going to lose respect for them. And there is nothing that they can do for us that will sort of like think, I can understand what he's saying, but because we discount what they will say because we're familiar. This is what the people that grew up with Jesus said. Who is this guy? Isn't he the brother of so-and-so? And aren't his sisters staying with us? And they completely missed out on the plans and the purposes and the blessings of God in their lives. And so they couldn't recognize, because they were familiar with him, they couldn't recognize his divinity because they were stuck on his humanity. This is just, isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't he just this? I don't know, perhaps we can easily do that in our lives as well. It's just my wife. It's just my husband. Who do you have? You're talking to someone on the phone. Who is that? Ah, it's just my wife. Yeah. Or it's just my husband. Or it's just. Because the moment you say just, you've kept the level of respect and honor you give to them. It is just. So we have to fight to establish this culture of honor in our lives. And so how do we build this culture of honor in our families, in our community, in our church? The first thing we need to do is to understand the difference between respect and honor. And we shouldn't mix them up. Respect is earned, but honor is given. I may not respect a person, I may not respect their beliefs, their ideas, but if they have authority, they deserve my honor. So we are going to be coming to election soon. Whatever your persuasion is, whichever way you vote, that's a personal choice for you to have to deal with. But we know that even though we may not like the other side, we do know that if, whether it's the prime minister or the deputy or the opposition leader, if they come into this space, we all will do what? We all will stand, because we recognize the authority that they carry. Now, if King, King Charles came, all of us, we would be forced to stand. Even though you wanted to sit, you would be forced to stand, and you would feel a bit weird if you're the only one sitting when everybody else is standing. They would tell you that this is the way that if you're going to interact with the king, I don't know whether they do it these days. You know, girls, you have to be told, you got to do those. And then the guys had to, with your fingers and you curtsy. Now, whether you do that or not, that is just a sign of what? Honor. That is a sign of honor to them. So we struggle with, another reason why we may struggle with honor is because of offense. Somebody has offended us. And therefore, whatever they say, we discount heavily. I might have been hurt by, whether it's my parents, I might have been hurt by somebody in the church, or my boss would have hurt me. And so there is nothing that they can say to me. I won't hold the value of what they say in the correct way because of the offense that I am carrying. A story in the 2 Kings chapter 5, where there was a great warrior that got a great warrior, but he had leprosy. And he was told, why don't you go to Samaria? There is a prophet there that can heal you of your leprosy. And so Naaman went with a lot of gifts to give. And as he got there, he got to outside the house. He gets outside the house of the prophet. The prophet doesn't even come out and welcome him and to greet him. And he just sends his servant and say, go and tell him to wash seven times in the Jordan, and his skin will be restored and his leprosy will be gone. Naaman got offended because he thought this guy was going to come. In fact, the words that he used, I thought you were going to wave your magic wand and then speak to your God so that I would be healed. And it is only the people that were alongside Naaman that said to him, come on, Naaman, had he asked you to do a difficult thing, would you not have done it? And so they said, even if it's this, just go do this simple thing that he has asked you to do. And so Naaman went and did. He went and washed seven times. And guess what happened to his skin? It was restored. Had he held fast to his offense of not being given the respect that he was due as a warrior, he would have missed out on his blessing and his healing. The other one is Peter in the boat. Peter had been fishing all night. And you have to understand that Peter is a professional fisherman, so he knows what he's talking about. And so the Lord says to him, why don't you cast your nets the other side? And he said, oh, come on, Lord. We've been fishing all night, and we haven't been able to get anything. But then he says something which is very interesting. Because you said it, I will do it. And then all of a sudden he did it, and there was a great haul of fish that they got that they couldn't contain all that fish. They had to ask other boats to come by. I have a story in my own life where my grandmother asked me to go and deliver a bottle of oil, 5 kg. Now, it might not mean much here in Australia, but she said, go and give this 5-liter bottle of oil to my pastor, which was her pastor. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. Because, you see, the pastor had said some things about my grandmother that offended me. So in my mind, I'm like, you know, my grandmother's done so much for this church. She helped do this and that, and this is how you treat her. And now my grandmother's asking me to go and deliver this 5-liter bottle of oil. I ain't doing that, no. So I called up a few friends. I called up my wife. She was here in Australia. I said, oh, what do you think I should do? And I was really conflicted. And then eventually my wife says to me, imagine if you were to look back and you don't do what she said, how is that going to make you feel? I said, all right. So I went to my grandmother and I made it known to her that, okay, look, I'm going to do it out of deference to you because you asked me to do it. And so I went, delivered, knocked on the pastor's door, delivered the 5-liter bottle of oil. Now, to them, it's a big deal. Here, when we talk about giving somebody oil, it's like, what is that? But there, it's a big deal. So I gave him the oil, and I sort of like said, you know, how are things going? Explained to him, my family, you know, you do the pleasantries. And then at the end, as I was saying, like, I'm out, peace, I'm leaving, he said, let me pray for you. And so he began to pray for me. And some of the things he prayed, one of the things that I recall that he prayed, he says, you know, I'm praying for you. And this is way before it was even in my thinking that I'd be doing, I'd be standing in front of people, you know, leading a church or anything like that. And he said to me, he said, as he was praying, he was like, you know, Lord, I pray for him and so that whenever he prays for people, they will be healed. And so there was a lot of other things that he said. And it's in that moment that I realized that, man, if I had held fast to my offense, then I would have missed out on the blessing that this man had just bestowed upon my life. Sometimes we struggle with honor because of the expectations that we have. We expect things to come a certain way, but they don't come the way that we expect them. So just like the Israelites, when they knew from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that unto us a child is born and the government will be upon his shoulders. But if you read the first 1 to 5 verses of that scripture, it's talking about how they will come and they will destroy all those people that oppressed the Israelites. So in their mind, they're thinking that whoever's going to come to free us from this Roman oppression, they're probably going to come with the latest military artillery and deliver us from this Roman oppression. But it was just a man that came, and they couldn't see that and they couldn't accept that. So sometimes our expectations cause us to not give honor because we're expecting things to come one way when God has a different way of delivering things to us. We understand from Scripture that there is a command to honor our parents. It says, honor your father and mother. This one is not a command. It is a command. It's not a suggestion. Let me think about it. Should I honor my mother, my father? No. This one is you honor. Tim Keller says, it's respect for your parents that is the basis for every other kind of respect and every other kind of authority. That means that if I don't honor my mother or my father, It's only a matter of time before that dishonor starts to show up in the workplace. It's only a matter of time before that dishonor starts to show up in my relationships. And then my life is going to be held back because of that. So honoring our father and our mother teaches us that God has placed people in authority over us. That doesn't mean that these people will get things correct. No, it doesn't mean that at all. You know, sometimes we know parents, we're not perfect. We get things wrong because we are also flawed human beings. Honoring our parents teaches us how to respect that authority and then also be respected by those we have authority over. This is why that centurion, when the Lord said to him, look, I'll come to your house. And he said, no, there's no need for you to come. Just give the word. And he says that I am a man that is under authority and I have authority. So if you just, because he knew that as a centurion, as a commander of a few hundred people or so, he would say, do this, and immediately they would do it. But he also had people over him. He would follow their directions. So this thing is that, funnily enough, that God has chosen the frailty of the family to teach us about honor in our lives. This doesn't suggest that the parents they get it right all the time. You see, the Greek word for honor means to revere and to value. Honor is giving respect not only for merit, but also for rank. So sometimes the reality that parents don't treat their children well, and so our behavior as parents can be unhealthy and harmful to our kids. So what do you do when you've struggled with the fact that your parents treated you unwell or didn't treat you well, but God commands that you do what? You honor them. The first thing that we do is that we ask, we forgive them. You know, Jesus said that forgiveness won't be easy. Peter asked the Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Should it be 7 times? And the Lord says, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Paul tells us, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. The second thing we do is that we pray for our parents and ask for the Holy Spirit to help them, to help us speak well of them. Because it's quite easy, you know what I mean, like to just bash them. Ah, my father was useless, you know, he never did anything for me. My mother, she was even worse. It's quite easy to do it. So now, this is telling us, you see, that as we talk about honor, as we begin to dive into the things that the Lord said, we have to understand that by ourselves in our own strength, we cannot do this. We cannot easily just forgive people that have messed us up. It is going to take the Holy Spirit in our lives to do what? To help us. And the third thing that we do is that we demonstrate healthy love towards our parents. There is something that the Lord doesn't particularly like, and it's, you know, what I would describe as transactional honor, where we only honor somebody just because we are going to get something from them in return. So I only honor you because I know that by me honoring you, I know that whether it's you're dealing with people at work, you know that if I honor you, then there's going to be some benefit that comes back to me. The challenge for us is how do we honor people that we should not, when we don't expect anything in return? How do we honor our husbands? How do we honor our wives? How do we honor our children? And children, how do we honor our parents? You see, when we are used to a transactional honor in our lives, what actually happens is that we stay at the surface level of relationships. Because it's all, you scratch my back, you know, I scratch yours. Quid pro quo. You do this, I do that. If you don't do this, I'm not going to do that. But when we live that way, we never really engage our hearts so we can experience the depth of relationship that we're supposed to experience in our lives. And lastly, as we finish off, as we're just building the platform over these next five weeks, which is next week, and then we're going to break for Easter, and then the 3 weeks after that, is that I've just got a little guide. Did I talk about this before? Oh, okay. Please, just take the time to do some self-examination. And for example, the faith challenge here says, what is one practical action you would take this week to show honor? Anyway, so in Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, it says, the one who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Jesus is teaching his disciples about receiving others with honor, and this line opens a deep kingdom principle. And the principle is this: what you honor, you gain access to. What you honor, you gain access to. Sometimes we interact with people and we interact well with them based on if they're honorable people, you know what I mean? Like the rewards that they will get. So for example, if you've got two or three kids and one of them does well, you know, the argument that we have in our house mostly is that, oh, they don't do the dishes when it's their turn. They don't clean the bathroom well. And what I always say is that, hey, please keep doing what you're doing without complaining. Just do it, because you see, the way this life works, you're teaching yourself, you're not losing when you do that. You're just teaching yourself to have an excellent spirit. So what you honor, you gain access to. And so at its core, a prophet's reward is the benefit, blessing, or breakthrough that flows to you because you honored the prophet and received them in their God-given role. This is where you're receiving the revelation, the grace, and the spiritual inheritance that God has placed on their life. So I went to see that pastor after my grandmother checked me and others encouraged me. And he says, and so I received the blessing over my life. If you honor the voice of the prophet, you receive the word of the Lord they carry, and the spiritual fruit of the word becomes available to you. If you dismiss or dishonor them, you miss out on what God is trying to deliver through them. Jesus couldn't do many miracles in his hometown because of dishonor. Familiarity robbed them of the miraculous. Only a few people could be healed. Dishonor blocked the reward from coming into their lives. And so this morning, as we finish, I want to finish on a story. May we please stand this morning? What was that song we were singing? Yeah, I just want us to hit that part, let heaven come, and let's just linger on that. A friend of mine had his brother, a younger brother. Each time I would go to Zimbabwe, he would come and I'm mentioning this story because I want to emphasize that honor opens doors for you. So this guy would come and greet me. You know, in our African custom, what happens is that if an elderly person comes, you come, you shake their hands, you greet them. And then when they're going away, you sort of like say, all right, see you later. And so he would come and greet me. I would go stay at my grandparents' place. He would come and greet me. How are you? You know, the whole small chit-chatter. And then when I was leaving, maybe a day before I left, he would then come and say, see you later, God bless you, so on and so forth. His wife would do the same. But when I considered my own brothers, my own, you know, these Magwenzi people, they never did that. And that was for me, it was so stark to say, why does this guy show me this honor and this respect when I know that my own family, they would say it with their lips, yeah, we would respect you, brother, but their actions didn't betray them. It so happened that this guy and his family, through his work, he needed to go to America, and so the resources for application, transport, whatever it was required. Now, that was the one thing that he was lacking. But because I recognized what this guy did for me, And he didn't do it out of compulsion. He did it because of his brother, who is my friend. And so he respected me because of his brother. And so when the opportunity arose for him to get assistance, guess what? I was more than willing to assist him. It so happened that now they've been in America, now that's where they live, whether good or bad, for the last 3 years. So honor opens doors in our lives. Just like the lady with the issue of blood, she honored Jesus as a healer. And guess what she got? Healing. Look at what happened to Jairus. He honored Jesus as a healer. And look what happened to him. His daughter was restored back to him. So, Father, I thank you this day for your church. I thank you for C3 Kwinana. Lord, that you are calling us, Father, to a culture of honor, where we honor one another, where the level of honor in our families rises, where the level of honor, Lord God, in our businesses, Lord, in our teams at work, Father, begins to rise, honoring one another for the gifts that you have placed on their lives, that you have called us, Father, to give due and honor and respect where it is due. That, Lord, our kingdom culture is a culture where we honor those in authority over us. Father, I just pray, Lord God, for your people. Lord, those that struggle, Father, with honoring their mother and their father. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would just, as they seek you, Lord God, you would just forgive them, Lord. They will be able to forgive their parents. But they would, Lord God, have a heart that is honorable towards those that you have placed over them. And so, Father, I give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Let's start singing, Tammy. I'm just going to sing for those that have never made a decision to follow the Lord. We're just going to, you know, pray this to the Lord. And then if it's you, just put your hand up. And then I'll open up the altar as the team sings for if you need prayer, if you need healing, for anything, just come to the front and we'll pray for you. So I invite you to this invitation. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me, forgiving me of my sins. And so, Lord, I repent of my sins today, and I choose to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.